Interestingly, Abu Sufyan seems to have played no part in the events of Hudaybiyah. A man of outstanding intelligence, he probably realized that Muhammad had wrong-footed the Quraysh and that it was no longer possible to deal with him with the conventional defiance of Jahiliyyah. The Meccans had tried to kill the pilgrims, but Muhammad had eluded them. Their next ploy was to try to cause dissension among the Muslims by inviting Ibn Ubay to perform the rites at the Kaaba. But to everybody's surprise, Ibn Ubay replied that he could not possibly perform the circumambulations before the Prophet. He would clash with Muhammad again in the future, but at Hudaybiyah, Ibn Ubay was a loyal Muslim. Safwan and Suhail persuaded Ikrimah to agree to negotiation and sent one of their Bedouin allies, Hulays, chief of Al-Hari, an extremely devout man, as their representative. When Muhammad saw him coming, he sent the sacrificial camels out to greet him, and when Hulays saw them trotting towards him, beautifully decked out in their garlands, he was so impressed that he did not even bother to interrogate Muhammad, but returned immediately to the city. These were bona fide pilgrims, he reported, who must be admitted at once to the Haram. Safwan was furious. How dared Hulays, an ignorant Bedouin, give them orders? This was a grave mistake. Hulays rose and replied with great dignity, "You men of Quraysh, it was not for this that we made an alliance with you. Is a man who comes to do honour to the house of Allah to be excluded from it? By him who holds my life in his hand, either you let Muhammad do what he has come to do, or I shall take away my troops to the last man." Safwan hastily apologised and asked Hulays to bear with them until they found a solution that was satisfactory to everybody. Their next envoy was Urwa ibn Masud of Ta'if, a crucial ally of Mecca. Urwa immediately put his finger on Muhammad's weak spot. "So, you've gathered this medley of people, O Muhammad, by whom you come back to break the might of your own tribe," said Urwa, gesturing contemptuously at the pilgrims. "By Allah, I could see these disbanding against you tomorrow." Muhammad knew that despite this apparent show of strength and unity, he had very few dependable allies. His Bedouin confederates, who had refused to accompany him on the pilgrimage, had only a superficial commitment to Islam. His position in Medina was still desperately insecure, and he knew that some of his closest companions would not understand what he was about to do. How could he realistically oppose the Quraysh, his own tribe, with this motley rabble? The Quraysh, on the other hand, were solidly united and armed to the teeth, Urwa told him. Even the women and children had vowed to prevent him entering Mecca. Nevertheless, almost in spite of himself, Urwa was impressed by the Muslims' devotion to the Prophet during this crisis, and he told the Quraysh that, at least for the time being, Muhammad held the winning cards, and they would have to make some kind of agreement with him.